Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the Cooligans. It's a big one. It's an anniversary show. And for that, we're talking about transfer windows. Who's the winner? Who are the losers? Christian and I have our own choices.
And we're going to talk about some Major League Soccer. Inter Miami embarrassing New York Red Bull once again. Also, the Women's Euros. We got to talk about that because Anchor Trimberger is making some of the most ridiculous saves we have ever seen. All this and more today on the Cooligans. So yesterday was actually the 10-year anniversary of when we first did any Cooligans content.
What?
July 20th, 2015.
Congratulations.
We did
to us.
We published the first video that we ever did, which was the Date Mary Screw.
Yeah, Date Mary Screw.
Outside of Yankee Stadium.
A couple questionable people in that video.
Okay.
We didn't know at the time.
Who could have known?
You know, which was the fans of the club were the same fans of.
But no, it's a monumental achievement for me to be able to continue working with you for 10 whole years.
I was about to say, 10 years ago when you made that video, did you think in a decade I'm still going to have to work with this guy?
But more than anything, it's just it shows the what things can be. You don't know what things are or what they could become when you start them, which you know, maybe suggests, you know, continuing on, keep going when
despite the hurdles
when things are difficult.
One of my favorite signs that, you know, people take pictures of, it's somewhere, I forget where it is, it's graffiti, I think it's somewhere in Latin America, maybe Mexico City. It says just start. You can make it better later is the point of it. Mm-hmm. You can make it good later. And when we get to later, oh, this show's going to be so good, dude.
So any day now, later could be coming up. Mm-hmm. I think it allows us, a milestone like this allows us to reflect and be grateful for all the supporters we've had, Gully Squad, the Patreon, everybody who's always believed in whatever this was.
Hell yeah,
and people have stuck around with us for a decade.
It's a long time. A lot changes.
You know, we're growing old with them or whatever. And now these young
folks. And we started this podcast when we were 16 years old. I want everyone to know that.
Okay, so now
embattled looking 16. Well, not you. You actually look 16.
I'm reversing in age, but younger content creators are now we're the ones that they look up to and they say kind words and
I actually saw one at an event this on Friday and he was like, "No, y'all the OGs." And I was like,
"Excuse me?
I'm like, what you mean? Just because I got a bad back?
I'm just a G, dog." Forget this old stuff.
In fact, give me your wallet. Let me show you what this OG can do. No, but he was like, "Yo, when we started, y'all were like the only ones really even trying to do it from this perspective that we're doing it from." And I was like, "Yeah, it's kind of a beautiful thing."
Yeah,
like, and I'm happy about that. I'm happy that there's more. Looking at the World Cup coming here, there's just so many more non-suburban faces. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Okay, but more importantly, everybody, you gotta pay your dues. All right, we're the dues.
In fact, pay us, bro.
All right, we've been in this long enough.
The ODs.
Next month is actually would be the 10-year anniversary of the Cooligans podcast because we started the podcast a few weeks, almost a month and a half or two after we started. Doing stuff on YouTube, and we didn't know what this was going to become. So be on the lookout.
When is the anniversary of you being on camera for the first time? Because remember, you didn't want to be on camera at first.
I wasn't on.
Little nugget for the new Cooligans fans.
Yeah.
Christian at first was like, "I'll be behind the camera. I'll produce everything. You just do it." And then eventually it was the Pete Lee video against DC United.
That might have been the first. Yeah.
Yeah, that was because I was like, dude, just hop on with me. You're also a comedian. It's three comedians.
Sure.
It was weird to have a conversation with the camera, with you behind it.
I mean, some people are saying they don't want me on camera anymore, either, right?
I mean, look, I had to make all those burner accounts. It was very difficult. But thank you for riding with us, dude.
Yeah, we
years.
Appreciate it. So shout out to everybody that helped us get to this point. And we're going to be doing some fun stuff and celebrating this milestone as well. So be on the lookout for that. All right. Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, what's up? I'm Alex Gross. Why the dulcet tones?
I don't know.
Welcome to the Cooligans.
Hey, everybody. Sometimes, you know, you try to start the show seducing people. All
damn.
Right? I've been trying to do this comedy thing. Nah, dog. Nah. I'm trying to be a heartthrob.
Yeah. That was the problem. We don't have enough beefcake on this show, dude.
Okay, I got to work out a little bit more, bro.
How the One Direction boys doing it still? Oh, that's right. They're getting y'all horny.
Sure. Now, whenever boy bands have a documentary, it's like, oh boy, it's not good.
Nah.
It's not good.
No, that was starting it up, huh? Damn.
It's not a good sign. Welcome to the show. We're excited, as always.
I'm going to get him to stop doing this.
Alexis isn't.
10 years. Do you care if we're excited that we're doing the show?
You're excited about today's show because we're going to be talking about the winners and losers of this European transfer window. We got some MLS to talk about, and we have to talk about the Euros, which have been crazy, bro. But let's start today with some European summer updates as far as what's going on in the transfer window, and that is why it is today's top topic.
This is the top topic.
All right, we're halfway through the summer window. Winners and losers. Who do you think is the winner so far?
The transfer window isn't over yet, but as of right now, you have to say Liverpool is the transfer winner.
Mm-hmm.
They are absolutely putting in work. I have a list of their transfers right here because I didn't want to make any mistakes and let our check and let the comments go crazy. But they've absolutely put in work. Obviously, we already know, obviously, Florian Wirtz, incredible. Kirkej, incredible. Frimpong, incredible. They've also brought in some additional bodies like Harvey Davies, Woodman, Pexy. I hope I pronounced that correctly. The basic point is, though, when you look at it, and we talked about this last week, Liverpool said, all right, we won the league easily, right? In pretty easy fashion, we won the league. Well, yo, we didn't do that well in Champions League once we got to the knockout stages, right? They got bumped out. They were on top of the league phase. How do you make yourself better than you were last year? And that's, you got to make yourself better on a global stage versus just in the Premier League. In the Premier League, well, all you have to do is keep pace with everyone else because you're already better than everybody else. How do you, and they're going to retool to try to beat you. How do you get better in Champions League? How about you go out and get pretty much the number one wonder kid in all of the sport in Florian Wirtz, and you pay an ungodly amount. I mean, what is it, 120? 125 million?
Which feels like too much.
It's a lot of money for a guy.
I mean, even seeing that, like, Wirtz is good. Am I crazy for thinking that it's a little too
absolutely
much?
Absolutely incredible. 125 million?
It seems like a lot of money. But more importantly, I think for them, is that they got so much younger. They brought in
they got rid of. First of all, they made $63 million, right? So that's half of Wirtz's payment. They got rid of Kwanzaa. They got rid of, obviously, Trent Alexander-Arnold was it says $10 million here, but I thought I remembered that being free. They got rid of Kelleher. They got rid of a couple of people.
They probably didn't want to get rid of Kelleher. But he was never going to start.
No, but the point is that they're doing business on both ends, right? They're selling players for a good amount of money, and they're buying and they're bringing in players, which will lead to my losers. But who's your winner?
My winner is Chelsea, the best club in the world, I guess, right now, for the moment. Winners of the Club World Cup, and watching them play in person as well, you see João Pedro, I think, might end up being the signing of the season as far as how effective he was. And he came from vacation and was like, hey, I'm already in form to be playing. So I think he's going to end up being probably one of the better transfers of the season. But they got Liam Delap as well. Nico Jackson getting that red card in the Club World Cup, I think effectively was like, all right.
We
had the transfer like papers done.
Yeah.
We just needed to cross some T's and dot some I's and that red card.
And you did it with two boots.
And that red card did it. Jamie Gittins as well coming over from
Jamie
Dortmund.
Gittins is a big signing.
I don't have the list of who they got rid of, but obviously getting rid of Jadon Sancho, getting rid of the players that were either underperforming or came with the baggage that maybe they came from their other clubs with or whatever.
By the way, Jadon Sancho played well for them.
He did he was good when he got there. Right. And then the latter half of the season, he fizzled down a little bit. And he barely could get as many minutes.
But I thought this is a player they'd want to keep. And apparently they made an offer to him. I think the rumor was, I don't know if this is fully confirmed, but I know he was making around $300,000 a week mm-hmm. at United. The rumor is they offered him $130,000 a week, and he said no because he wanted to stay on the $300,000. And now he ends up at Juventus making about $100,000 a week. So he ended up losing an additional $30,000 a week trying to get back to that $300,000. Which the reason nobody wanted you is because of the wages.
Sure,
a lot of teams would take a flyer. Juventus just did. We'll take a flyer on a player that was great at one point and seems to have taken a step back. And I think Sancho still has that in him.
Okay, Marcus Rashford. We'll see how it goes.
All right, good luck at Barcelona, my guy.
Okay, yeah. So I think Chelsea are my winners. How about losers? What about for you?
I hate to say this, but loser, Arsenal.
Oh, wow.
I'm an Arsenal fan. Mm. Look, they went out. They got Zubimendi, 70 million, right? They went out. There. Christian Mosquera is basically signed, sealed, delivered.
Sure.
They got with Kepa. Sure. Great. Where's the striker? And this is so annoying.
Gyökeres is
not done.
Not done.
Not done yet.
Arteta said something about like there's still work to do on that.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to believe the people who post about transfers,
I believe everything.
Yeah, you believe everything. On the internet.
If it's a verified account on Twitter, why would it not be accurate?
If you got $5.99 a month, then I trust you. You must be doing pretty good. But honestly, if you trust those accounts and what they're saying, specifically what they're saying is that this is over. Like, the agent took less money. The player was foregoed a bunch of money. This is now about the add-ons. Apparently Sporting Club wants the add-ons to be pretty guaranteed, like pretty simple add-ons. And Arsenal are trying to make them a little bit harder to achieve so that they're not just giving away this money. If we're fighting over $10 million in the grand scheme of things, and granted, I want to remind everyone, it ain't my money. I could care less. You know what I mean? $10 million, not my money or my money? Which one? Because I don't got that $10 million. But if it's not my money, then yo, just pay it. The thing you've been searching for this whole time is a striker. If you're not going to be trying to sign players of other, like, you know, the Sheskos and they want $100 million, all that. If this is the player that you've basically said, you know, fills all the variables we need in a striker, will be the guy, then just go buy him. You've been missing a striker for 3 seasons at this point. Just go sign this guy. Quit penny pinching when it comes down to it, because this is exactly what Arsenal fans get frustrated about, is that you've been talking about a striker for 3 seasons. That's 6 transfer windows. Just go sign this guy. You lose him to Manchester United, you will be the laughingstock next season, especially if you don't win because you don't have a striker.
Why is there so much drama around signings and transfer windows with Arsenal? Is it a money thing? Is it a board that can't come up on what transfers to target?
I think they're just helping Arsenal fan TV.
Every other club, I feel like, I mean, Liverpool, Chelsea, Brighton, like everyone
just gets the business done.
They just get it done. I'm sure there's a lot of like, behind the scenes drama. Well, why is it with Arsenal there seems to like it's a bigger talking point or dramatic part of the off season? I don't know why it's a bigger deal. It feels like a reality show versus a regular kind of sitcom that the rest of the other clubs go through.
There's a group of reasons. Part of it is the fans are so much more involved in transfers. I mean, I take you back to about 2 seasons ago when they were looking up, you know, Isak registering a car in London, and that became big news on the internet because, oh, he's coming. This is how ridiculous the fans are about signing a striker.
Okay.
About getting the one player that we absolutely need on this team. This is how dedicated they are, or insane, whatever you, toxic, whatever you want to call it. And for some reason, the fans are really into it. And the club, since back in the Wenger days, just takes forever because they want to get a good deal. And it's, you know, at some point, if the whole world knows you need this, you might not get a good deal.
Bro, they're just in the grocery store touching all the avocados. They're like,
they're like my mom. They're dropping the cans because if the can's bent, you get a discount. So my mom's just like, oh, yeah, jiggle, bring my bung. Oh, look, there's another one.
You're going to be here all day. You got to just pick a goddamn orange.
Yeah, and the cashier's like, yo, how'd you find all the dead cans? This is crazy.
Another example is like how fans are treating the transfer of Noni Madueke, which is just like, he seems like a fine player. I don't know what the uproar is.
You're taking a starter and you're putting him as part of your rotation. I think he's a wonderful signing.
Sure.
I think he dribbles past more players than Martinelli ever wishes he could.
He's an all right player. I mean, I really don't have anything negative to say about him.
I think he's a good signing.
Okay.
Madueke is a good signing. All I didn't mention his name earlier because I didn't want the conversation to be about that. But Madueke is a great signing.
Okay. Alexis said it first. He's the greatest ever signing for Arsenal Football Club.
Word for word what I said.
I love that I put my listening ears on.
as opposed to what other ears do you have?
My loser in this transfer window is going to be Manchester United, mainly because of the precarious position that they're in, not just being a poor team in the Premier League. And
crazy that's true.
Right. They're a poor team.
Performance-wise and money-wise.
And from an institutional perspective as well, it's almost like, why I want to go work there?
Yeah.
I don't feel great. Am I going to get laid off? That's the concern.
Instead of a preseason, maybe those players should have done an internship this summer. I mean, a little something for a resume. Right,
it looks good on the resume.
We might need it.
For a real club later on, they might like it. But look, they signed Mateus Cunha and Brian Mbeumo.
Cunha is a great signing.
Cunha is a great sign, and I love the pageantry of like they re-signed him at Wolves last season.
Yeah.
And the social media, he's here to stay.
That's right. Wolves for life.
My man kissing the badge.
He's howling at the moon.
That's right, bro. They howl, bro. That's their celebration. We watch Wolves games.
Bro, we love Wolves, bro.
Clean Wolverine,
that's
dog.
What they say, right? They say hello and welcome. Okay. When you join the team.
So I love that part of it. Yeah. Just like you just signed them so that later. You can sell him. That's all. Yeah. It's like you don't want him to leave on a free.
But the lying to the fans would be like, he's here for life.
You see this Wolves tattoo? Damn. It's never rubbing off.
Nah, don't rub it right now. Just let it settle.
I just got it.
Let it drop. That's how tattoos work.
Yeah, I love how they do all of that. And then he's like, all right, peace. I know.
But also, everyone knew it's just so that you could transfer him for more.
Exactly.
It's so dumb. The pageantry involved.
Oh, because the fans would have been mad at him if he just left. And it's like, we don't get anything for you or whatever.
But the announcement should be like, we signed him so we could get more money next year. You know what I mean? The cash machine going. That's what the announcement should be. We all know, dude.
It's like when MLS, trades a player for GAM. Yeah. You know what I mean? And they just, the social media post is just a bag of money. At least you're honest with us.
Remember the lady who went viral for having the clear iPhone? She had the plexiglass.
Yes, yes, yes.
They should do a check like that. Like, you know what I mean? Take a picture with a plexiglass piece. There it is. The GAM check, bro. You stacked now.
I think they're in a place where if they're rebuilding. They're rebuilding not only what the club looks like and what the team looks like on the pitch, but they're rebuilding like the brand. They have to. Losing out and missing out on Champions League is going to affect them very, very negatively. So
not winning Europa was ridiculous.
Yes, and I mean losing in that form. But they are going to the players who show up to work and are they're not there. It's no Europe. There's not. You're just there to like, hey, you're hoping. We can get back to like better times and whatever.
Right.
But the heart has to be, because you're not going to get the plaudits of playing in the biggest games and playing in the biggest tournaments.
Right.
You have to be there because you want to be.
You have to have grown up a United fan.
A little bit.
Showing up to United preseason is like showing up to the astronomer offices after the Coldplay concert. You're just like, bro, I don't want to be involved in this circus.
Why their protests? Just because you cheated, dog.
I got no answers for the question. Why the media outside? I don't know how to explain this either.
Bro, you would think this nerdy-ass company would be the safest place to be at.
Dude, I thought I would not end up on page six.
And that thing is like, you're gonna be probably paid less than a lot of your peers.
Yeah.
You're going to be making less money, more scrutiny.
Best of luck if the check clears.
Right. more criticism.
Yeah.
So if you're there, you're going to have to really want to be there. So even for Cunha and Mbeumo, they're going to have to play well. And I already seen some of the, media things that Mbeumo has done. This man does not seem interested in being in front of the camera.
Bro. He Cole Palmer coded. He got no answers.
No. completely uninterested.
Yeah, bro, that brain is just for football, bro. Just like Cole Palmer.
I don't even know. He doesn't necessarily seem like he's like a dumb guy, but he, or not exactly. He just seems.
He just seems like uninterested in other things. Like, same thing with Cole Palmer. Sure. He's like, this is a waste of my time.
Right, right. So,
like you walking into a restaurant. Very different than me walking into a restaurant.
I mean, I'll eat.
You're just like, why do we have to do this? Every 3 times a day is a lot.
I mean, I feel like an insult to be compared to Cole Palmer in that degree. I'll eat the food.
Yeah.
I'm not going to complain. I'm just not going to ask any questions about it.
Right, right. That's literally how he is. He's like, yeah, I'll do your social media, but I'm not interested in what you're asking.
So, yeah, Manchester United losers for me. I'm curious to see what those first like 4 weeks are going to look like. If they get off to a rough start, bruh, it is.
Can the fans be more disengaged? Can they be more upset? Can they be more,
They're not disengaged at all. They're incredibly engaged and angry.
No, yeah. I mean, but they're like, distant from what's happening.
Disappointed?
Yeah, maybe.
Disengaged
seems dumb. But yeah, there's like a, of course. Of course this is happening now.
Sure, sure.
Fergie, what happened to the Fergie days? Can I tell you who had a sneaky transfer season we haven't talked about? Manchester City. I think Ryan Cherki. You mentioned Florian Wirtz will be the signing of the season. I think Cherki might be the signing of the season.
I did not say Florian Wirtz. I said João Pedro. But
you did say João Pedro. Yes, okay, yes, you said João Pedro.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's Ryan Cherki.
I don't think that's a bad shout. And then after watching him in the Club World Cup, I mean, we've already seen sort of a lot of the highlights and how, like, just the first touch and how saucy he is. And we saw...
he's also just, like, individual excellence. He brings it back to, like, that 04, 06.
Yeah, he sent that one... who scored the goal? Was it Phil Foden? He sent I think it was the outside of the boot with the left. He's one of these players that you can't tell if they're left-footed or right-footed.
Yeah.
And I can't stress to people... this is rare to have players like this. Santi Cazorla was like really kind of the main one that we sort of know. It's
a
switch hitter in baseball, bro.
Yeah.
Way more common than
there's
this.
No, you don't know where to. What do I do? Maybe I get him to the sideline.
You know,
or something.
It's like, oh, make him go left. No, no.
He'd be like, all right, thank you. Make him go right. Also, thank
Cherki
you.
Cherki is fantastic. So.
But he's also like the anti-system player. So for him to be playing with Pep is really impressive because that means Pep is like, all right, here's what we do. I need you to stay here. I need you to stay here. Yo, Ryan, don't listen to this. I need you to stay here. I need you to. You better do this if this play is there. Cherki, you get the ball. You do whatever you do, bye-bye.
There was, I saw some clip. I think it was on Carmelo's podcast. They were talking about, it might have been.
You were talking about Ryan Cherki.
Imagine.
Carmelo Anthony.
Elite ball knowledge on it.
Tapped in.
They were talking about Mike Brown being the new coach, right? Mike Brown of the Knicks. And they were telling stories about him. And I think they were talking about J.R. Smith or some player, like a person who shoots the ball that shouldn't be shooting the ball, like recklessly. And he said that he was like, let's say it's J.R. Smith. I think it was. But J.R. Smith was like shooting and making all these shots. And he's like playing with LeBron and all this other stuff. And then he was mad. He took like a fadeaway three from the corner or whatever and made it. And he was like, everybody was shocked that he even took that shot. So he went up to him during the next break, and he was yelling at him. But he was yelling at him like, "Yo, I'm yelling at you, but keep shooting. You know what I mean? But just make it look like I'm mad at you for taking that shot. But I actually want you to keep doing that." And that's it. Seems like Pep is going to be doing a lot of that.
Let's go.
Ryan,
I'm excited about this.
All right.
Before we go, let's take a look at this. Because obviously Bad Bunny is doing the residency in Puerto Rico. That's bringing mad money and mad people to Puerto Rico.
That's right.
I'm going to be going pretty soon. I can't wait.
I'm jealous.
I feel like I went in the wrong day, though, because if you don't know, the middle of the stage that Bad Bunny has is a house. And out of this house pops up mass celebrities, but it's people we would know, you know, like J. Cole pops out, or you know, Wisin y Yandel.
Our audience knows Wisin y Yandel.
Yeah, but whatever. It's mostly reggaetoneros, but there were two celebrities that popped out of this house out of nowhere. Let's take a look at this clip. You can see Bad Bunny dancing around. So basically, you're surrounding this house. It's like you're hanging out at Bad Bunny's grandma's house, and if you look in the background, there's Kylian Mbappe and Ashraf Hakimi.
That's right.
Just hanging out.
The losers of the Club World Cup. Okay.
Seriously. Well, one of them lost. one of them lost Champions League.
Yeah, I'll show
you.
Yeah.
But Mbappe, by the way, not much aura when it comes to concerts.
This seems... So as soon as I... So also, this is also a cool concept, right? Because normally when celebrities go to concerts, they're in like a VIP suite or whatever, yeah, and they experience it in their own way. But the VIPs, the VIP of VIP suites is the stage,
yeah,
but it's part of the set. You are one of the cat. You're part of the show.
You are now part of the show. Also, I want to talk about the guy with the beard and the red hat, Eladio Carrion, who had a song 4 years ago he put out, mm-hmm, called Mbappé.
Oh.
So how cool is this? Mm. He made a song. He called himself Young Rich, whatever, como Mbappé.
Yeah.
So this is a reggaetonero, a Puerto Rican dude from Kansas City, might I add. You don't hear about them very often. A reggaetonero, but he's more of a trap artist than a reggaeton artist.
Yeah.
Talking about, he has like a couple of songs with athletes' names, which is a great way to get yourself to the top
of SEO
Spotify.
Does numbers that, yeah.
But he's now partying with Mbappé and Bad Bunny after putting out a song a bunch of years ago before he really popped called Mbappé.
This is a good sign, a good trajectory for his career.
That also said, maybe we should put out a song.
So I don't know. Like, so
we should put out a song called Florian Verts.
That's the move. But this is we're not used to seeing Mbappe in this setting. Hakimi, obviously, Morocco.
Neither one of them look extremely comfortable.
Because the focus is going to be so much on them because of the celebrity. Like, we're not used to seeing footballers in this setting at all, right? And and they're in their off season. Obviously, they're allowed to do whatever they want to do. But there is a little bit of it's a PSG player and a Real Madrid player. I'm sure some people are like, hey, why are you hanging out with your ex like that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, a little bit.
And outside of that, for whatever reason, Hakimi looks a little bit more comfortable than Mbappe. Mbappe is obviously French. He speaks Spanish fluently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
they are partying in not their native language, which is...
No. But Hakimi was, I believe, born in Spain. He's Moroccan. I think he was born in Spain.
Oh, I for some reason, I thought he was originally from Morocco.
But even still, Spain...
Also, Caribbean Spanish.
Exactly. It's just a different vibe.
It's
so
a different vibe,
I'm not
bro.
Expecting
Our
them,
hips move differently.
I'm not expecting them to like get in here and know their way around the block or whatever. Yeah. But I see, because a lot of people were calling this like cringe. And
it's a little cringy, but not... It's not
cringe. Very cringe.
There's an element of
there's
cringe.
There's an element of cringe.
There's a slight whiff.
There's a tad.
It's almost as if, you know, when you sprinkle salt on top of something, but it's a little bit of cringe there.
It's one of those, it's the level of cringe where if you were eating and you'd be like, is that cringe in this?
Yeah. So, well, I'm sorry. I might be a little allergic. How much is there? You know?
I have a cringe sensitivity.
I'm cringe intolerant. And I'm just afraid I'm going to be shitting my brains later. Because here's the thing. When the camera pans, you just see a group of Puerto Ricans vibing to this music quite well.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then you get to the French guy, and he seems like he's doing a school lesson. You know what I mean? He seems like he's listening to this at home and doesn't realize he's at the concert.
No, but I love the commitment. I love the fact that you're there. I'm sure they were invited and they considered, should we not do this?
Yeah.
Should we not be on stage here?
When they got pulled on stage, they were like, can we just hang out on the couch inside? Because there is a house in there. You can hang out inside.
Yeah, yeah. But I love this. I think we need more of this. I think this is and it just shows, I mean, Bad Bunny is incredibly one of the most popular artists in the world.
Yeah.
But the culture, the crossing of culture.
The world needs our music is what you're saying.
I mean, without a doubt.
Yeah. There is a moment though where Mbappe looks at Hakimi and he doesn't say it, but the look is, are we doing this right?
I mean, yeah, they got a little bit of work to do, but they're doing their thing. You know, they're moving their arms. And soccer, you know, it's not you don't use your hands in this sport, so
that's the problem. The hand-eye coordination ain't there.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, look, that isn't comfortable, but whatever. At the end of the day, they got to go to the concert and be VIP. We didn't.
Yeah.
But hey, you're one of our VIPs. Stick around after this. We got more Cooligans. All right, welcome back to the Cooligans. Christian, got a little trivia for you.
Okay, hit me
with it. Who is the first Inter-Miami player in Inter-Miami history to score 4 goals in consecutive games or score in 4 consecutive games against the same team?
I'm going to assume it's Lionel Messi.
All right. This guy, you can't get one past him. Can you guess the team that he scored against?
I guess the last team he just played against was the New York Red Bulls.
That's right. And that's why we are going around the league, baby.
All right.
Let's talk a little MLS because what happened to New York Red Bulls, man? They won last week 5-3 in a major comeback.
Yeah.
And now lose this week 5-1, bro.
It feels like, you know, when certain teams have your number.
Yeah.
It feels like this is the case. I mean, every single time Red Bulls have played against Inter Miami, it's been it's been pretty bad.
It's been pretty bad. It's the one team where Inter Miami looks pretty good defensively.
Also, you just gotta say, NYCFC hasn't given up a goal to Lionel Messi. So not every club, you know, gets beat by him. But
James Sands has scored more against Lionel Messi than Emil Forsberg. Is that what you're saying?
But the one thing I would highlight is that I know Carlos Coronel hates seeing Messi coming, bro.
What goalkeeper doesn't?
I understand
this is
that.
A great goalkeeper.
This is, I would say, a good goalkeeper, but that's fair.
Yeah. I mean, Coronel is stood on his head many times.
Sometimes he's also given up 5 goals,
well,
right?
Well, that's usually a good thing. Yeah. So,
but was it Messi's? Messi's first goal where he sat him down, where I'm not used to seeing this, where he essentially dummied the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And not many people do this to goalkeepers at all.
He made him look like a Jenga. You know what I mean?
Because and Messi did, he received a great pass from Busquets, and Messi, it's just like, we know he's aging. But where are the signs exactly? Because he's still stupid fast. And then when he is taking the touches, bringing the ball into the box, he does a little cartoony, like.
What was it? Like Super Mario 2? What, one of them jumped?
Luigi, when he would jump.
Yeah.
And his,
right?
And his feet would, you know, move around really quick.
Like help him float.
And that's kind of what it looked like Messi was doing. And that completely threw off Coronel, because he's assuming the shot is coming right now. And
yeah.
No, his feet are just moving around super fast. And he just dribbles the ball by him and makes Coronel look ridiculous. Maxi Morales kind of did this also in the regular season as well.
He's just short, guys. He can't see that far now, bro.
He's too. This is when your height is actually.
You got to get to my level. Well, it's because the ball, when Maxi Morales, the ball covers up to his knees. You know what I mean?
He's like kicking a beach ball out there.
Yeah. He's like a young man out in the backyard. But I think the issue is that you mentioned. It's something he hasn't seen before. Messi does things most MLS players, especially defenders and goalkeepers, haven't really seen in the league before.
Right, right.
And that's just, again, one of the greatest players. I love sometimes people on the internet kind of laugh and go, oh, it's against MLS. He did this in Europe. You know what I mean? He did this to some of the best players in the world because he is the greatest player of all time.
Yeah, and his, I mean, we all know like the vision and all this stuff, but he got two assists he got one assist in the game.
Yeah.
But the pass to Jordi Alba for the first goal. Inter Miami goal. Also, it also did feel like not even the referee expected the pass, because the referee, if like essentially dummied.
People are being the highlight.
He dummied the ball.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think it threw off the defenders as well. Who was the right back that was covering Jordi Alba? I forgot his name. It was a young kid. And they basically...
It's not Hack, right?
No. Apologies. I'm gonna get his name in a second.
Edwards.
No, Raheem Edwards was the left back.
What's his name? Ely.
No. Oh, no.
Noah.
Wing back.
Oh,
Sofo. Sofo. Mohamed Sofo. 20 years old. He was essentially the one kind of having to mark Jordi Alba. And
good
Jordi
luck.
Alba what cooking him.
Yeah.
Like it's just running past him. And he was watching Messi play. He was like, oh, yo, Messi has the ball. What's he going to do?
Dude, that's crazy. Like, oh. Yo, I got good seats for this game, bro.
So like, you feel bad, but he's like, it is a lesson. Dax McCarty on MLS Rapper was basically saying that he was putting that on Sandro Schwartz. He was like, you put that kid in the wrong game.
Position. Yeah,
he was not ready to play in that game against competition like that. And Jordi Alba, who, as far as players that like look older, he is one of them, right? He's not the fastest, or whatever, but he is. You see the
intelligence is crazy.
The IQ, but not even just the IQ, but the chemistry with Messi. As soon as Messi has the ball, Jordi Alba's like, all right, now is when I work.
Well, you know, Jordi Alba's like, oh, I could cook this kid. All right, this is a game for me to have fun. Yeah.
So that first pass was fantastic. And he sent another one to Alba that he had crossed in that led to another goal from Segovia, I believe.
Segovia had himself a big game too.
But it's interesting to see Inter Miami, you know, versus Cincinnati and against teams at the top of the table versus teams lower in the table like Red Bull. They just... And specifically with Red Bull and at not Red Bull Arena anymore, Sports Illustrated Stadium. It's basically
Sports Illustrated
Stadium, I believe. Yeah,
is it stadium?
I think so. But it's basically a home game for Inter Miami, bro. It is. They pack that stadium real well when Inter Miami is there.
A whole lot of pink shirts, but that's everywhere he goes.
Exactly, but not everywhere. But like
New York City.
It's just wild that how comfortable Inter Miami look when they're playing at that stadium.
Yeah.
It's just, I think that's something that should be addressed in some way. I don't know what it is. I don't know if people are, you know, buying, you know, if it's a new person calling in to buy tickets or buy, it's like, oh, no, bro.
Is there like a cheap flight from Buenos Aires to Newark Airport? What is going on, bro?
So a couple other things. We were talking about this. We saw this, Kevin Sullivan. He's training with
Manchester City.
Manchester City.
So I'm pretty sure he can't go until 2027, but doesn't mean you can't train with him for a little bit.
Yeah, he's been there before. We've seen photos and stuff like that.
This is fun because now he's started a game in MLS. He's a young player, but it seems like they're taking it slow. They're not going the Freddie Adu route. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he plays for the first team. He's back at MLS Next Pro here and there and stuff like that. And when I watch the highlights for MLS Next Pro and you know, MLS posts them a lot. He looks like Cristiano Ronaldo.
He's incredible.
Just confident. The swag is like through the roof.
Right.
And then he plays in MLS and it's like, all right, you get humbled. But that's how it is with younger players. So,
but there's a big step up from MLS Next Pro to MLS.
Mm-hmm.
There's a major step up from there to Premier League. So getting a chance to start to at least see where you're at, mm-hmm. you know, start taking the temperature. Like what do you need to work on in the next 2 years? That's going to be huge for this kid.
Yeah. I wonder what what kind of player he will be. I mean, he's not even exactly like his brother, because he will seem to be like an attacking midfield, maybe like a Pulisic type player.
Someone that could play across the forward line on the wings and then maybe midfielder and attacking.
Because the confidence is, we met him. Yeah. I mean, he's more confident than we are in ourselves. So yeah, that's there. So I think obviously training with Man City will help boost that confidence and he'll know exactly where he sort of stands and like you said, like what he needs to work on. But I'm not sure. I'm not exactly sure why, because watching him in MLS, he still feels like he reminds me a little bit of Paxton Aronson in that, and same also with the Union. Like the physicality of the game is just like a little bit higher that, right? And he gets kind of pushed around a little bit by men mm-hmm. who are not here. They're not playing games.
Right.
It's serious for them.
There is a physical growing, you know, pain that you have to go through in order to be able to compete at that level.
Right. So they've identified the talent. Obviously the Union signed him and Man City, he's going to Man City right afterwards. He's most likely not going to play at Man City those first couple years.
He's going on loan.
He's going on loan.
But that's all right.
Yeah, that's nothing bad about that at all.
If you get to Man City as a starter by 21, 22, I'm impressed.
Yeah, right, very much.
Which gives you an idea of how much time this kid has.
Sure. So, yeah, after meeting him, especially, I'm like, I want it to go well. I want his career to go well. Right now, if he could kind of be like a more central Pulisic, which is kind of what I sort of see now.
It's great for the national team.
I think that would be great for the national team. Yeah. So, we have high hopes.
If
obviously.
He's the heir apparent to Christian Pulisic, I'd be very happy.
Exactly. All right. We got to talk about El Tráfico, another big game. LAFC against LA Galaxy should be a walk in the park.
Yeah, man. This is no problem.
It's the Los Angeles Galaxy. Yeah. But for some reason,
for El Tráfico, bro.
We're talking about Inter Miami and Red Bulls. I mean, it's just one of these. It's just like we know what the weaknesses of the LA Galaxy are. But LFC doesn't.
No.
They don't know where.
LFC is like, what if we not focus on that at all in training?
One of the big moments of the game was actually at the end. After
the scuffle,
Not the scuffle.
Okay.
At what moment this guy gets taken out of the game, Bouanga. He is subbed out. It's 3-1. So Chirundo's like, all right, we good.
We did our work.
Let's just defend and we're good to go. And when Yoshida scores the game tying goal in the 97th minute, the camera panned to Bouanga and he is furious on the bench. He's just like so upset. He's not injured. He is out of the game. I forgot who mentioned this on, I think it was Dax or Sasha, question mentioning this, like that basically your best players should, if they're fit, they should play in the game. Like use the example of Messi, who is not the fittest of players and, you know, have been dealing with nagging injuries and groin issues the last couple of years, but he's played like 90 minutes the last 14 games
unless
in a row.
He can't play the game.
It's like, I mean, it's Messi. I'm not comparing Bouanga to Messi, but as far as
he's the best player on the team,
and he's younger, fitter, faster than any of his teammates, pretty much. And they take him out. And I understand.
And he didn't pull up at some point in the game. They didn't reference anything.
Yeah, I think this was a moment of Chirundolo thinking of the next game.
Overcoaching, yeah.
Thinking of the next game before finishing this one. And, he doesn't expect there's going to be a red card and all this other stuff. But these games, because it's a Tráfico, because it's a derby, like, that passion should be there and your best player should be on the pitch. Even if they're not 100%, if they can finish the game, let them. Because I think that was a telling point. I mean, obviously, and Chirundolo's done at the end of the year, so it's not there's not much of a debate there or really
we already
worth
know
looking
he's going
into
back to Europe, yeah.
But it was kind of the wrong decision, and I think the player expressing that frustration highlighted that. Bouanga in this game looked unstoppable.
As he often does, especially against defending that's a little sketchy.
Yeah, and it's like it was cool, Yoshida. Scoring the game tying goal late in the game, that he probably doesn't even have the opportunity if Segura is in the game because the center back is there. But the
Segura tried to manhandle Fagundes, and that's how you can't has to remove your
Yoshida in the post game interview was saying like we gave up we were like not accountable, bad mistakes, and it's the same issue where LA Galaxy desperately need every 3 points that they can get, and they weren't necessarily going to get it here, but I like the accountability, but he also looks like one of the players that is like, he's a little like slower, maybe he needs to be paired with a faster center back or something, because it's just like this year, and they won MLS Cup last season, but this season, and things turn quickly.
Well, so you remove Ricky Puig from the equation.
Even still, I'm just saying, but that even from a defensive standpoint, there's just a lot of disorganization.
Well, I mean, the ball just ends up on your end of the pitch more often.
Yeah.
So those things are highlighted. But I will say, with this point, they're no longer in last place for the wooden spoon.
Okay, so with some positive.
Montreal now in last place at 15.
Montreal, I think, they're going to contract that team.
We're going to start calling them Montreal, too, because this is not.
It's looking like. Somebody just left, the center back. I forgot his name.
They signed somebody as well.
They did, but he went to West Brom, I believe. Yeah. I'm forgetting his name. But it's getting the little bit of feeling of like the graveyard of MLS.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, that's where we send.
That's your punishment. Montreal. By the way, what a wonderful city.
Our fan base is awesome. Yeah. We've been there. Yeah. It's super cool, but it's not great right now.
So that puts them at 13 points away from the last playoff position.
Mm-hmm.
Can they do it?
It doesn't sound, it's not impossible.
It doesn't feel impossible. I mean,
the answer, it should be no,
it
right?
It feels like a no, but I have no proof that it's a no, but it feels like it's a no.
It's just frustrating because like when they show this kind of heart.
Yeah.
And even in a game that they're losing.
Do this against Sporting Kansas City, bro.
In a game that they're losing, LA Galaxy clearly have like the mental fortitude to power through.
And they got to eke out wins. You're not going to win beautifully right
exactly
now.
Yeah. But the defending is just not good enough.
Right.
And, obviously not having... Ricky Puig is training again. I did see that. So that's exciting to see. Who knows when he'd even be available, or if
match fit is going to be a while,
right? Or even if they just like, hey, you know, this season's not going well, let's just why risk it, or why whatever. So
may I remind everyone, highest paid coach in the league. Kind of crazy, huh?
So, another shout out just to Portland. Portland had their like, was it 50 years or something, like celebrating?
That's right. The team were in the A League and stuff before,
right?
That.
But they had the biggest ever TIFO in Major League Soccer. That was celebrating all their like historic players. So like Diego Valeri was on it.
Right.
Diego Chará was also on it. A bunch of former players.
Everyone named Diego got on it.
All the Diegos. But it was just a cool thing to see. Also, the Sounders had a their fans did like a they had like the two pole signs, and they all said "Chinga la migra." So everybody, I'm sure somebody in the league wasn't happy with it.
For those of you who don't know what that means, it's just a Bad Bunny song. Don't worry about it. Mbappe was bopping to it.
But no, it's great to see the supporters taking a stance on this stuff in this country. So, all right, let's take another quick break. We got to talk about the women's Euros that have been incredible. Ooh. So we're going to get to that right after this. Women's Euros, let's get to it, because the last couple of weeks we've been inundated with a lot of other leagues, a lot of stuff going on. But the Women's Euros have been fantastic.
Dare I say lit?
Lit is a great word. Okay, so Switzerland are hosting. They've been lovely. Uh-huh. It's been awesome to see the supporters and all the fans and stuff like that. We got to talk about these quarterfinals, because there were two specific games that were unreal. Let's start with France and Germany, because
if I would have told you that France are up a player and somehow
for 80 minutes
the majority of the game, and somehow don't win, you'd be like, you're lying to me. This is France we're talking about.
It's remarkable. I mean, it's I wouldn't go up to embarrassment, but
this feels like a turning point though for the women's program, right? Like, if this were Italy on the men's side or something else, people would resign. You know what I mean?
Sure.
This feels like something where, like, yo, they got one body got a role. One head got a role.
Sure.
Because of this. Because this is, it feels, it's on the cusp of being embarrassing.
If it was a different team, maybe I would feel a different way. But Germany are that good. Where even
Germany
if they're down,
are that good, but player for an 80 minutes is crazy.
And it's not to say France had goals. They did score goals to win the game.
But yo, the sideline judge is a hater, dude.
Okay, raising that flag all day. My arm is hurting from calling offside all day.
Take a break for a minute, bro.
But the the camera, and then semi-automated offside.
What's it? Cascario, right?
Cascarino.
Cascarino. I mean, her toe
was ahead of the ball, and it feels like one of those things where we say, like, oh, this isn't what offside is about.
Although this one's different, because visually I'm like, oh, she's offside. But when you see it, you're like,
yeah, oh, she's not even
crazy.
Not even by that much,
bro. If her foot was half a size smaller, that goal would
exactly.
Counted.
That's what we need: smaller feet.
Give me some. We need to bind feet like they used to do back in the day. That's the only way we're gonna get around this.
Because they're not gonna change the offside rule.
Yo, find me someone with hooves. That's how we gonna win, dog.
We gotta mangle our feet.
Yo, I need pigs feet out there.
It's not just high heels anymore, ladies. We gotta ruin our feet. Yeah. We're buying. You wanna be a good footballer?
Yeah. Give me old cankle. Give me cankle no toes. That's the only way we gonna win, dog.
That's an interesting approach, but you know,
we gotta think bigger than the machines. You feel me?
Cascarino would have said, I could have lost the toe. Why wasn't I diabetic?
Dog, if you would have had diabetes.
Diabetes. Anyway, diabetes is a town in Spain.
If we would have had diabetes, they wouldn't have beat us. Is all I'm saying. Make the shirt.
Make the shirt. So, no, but a wild game in the fact that
I just got diabetes. Diabetes.
Okay, look at that. We'll get there. The fact that France couldn't finish this game out. is, and credit to Germany. I mean, the defending and not even just defending, but maintaining possession, still creating chances for yourself. Yeah. Like they really
also dead balls. You know, that's how they're going to try to get back in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And France kept giving it to them.
Exactly. And then they had the opportunity, the penalty that they were awarded. Karchawi fouls. I forgot what player. Fouls a German player.
I thought that was Bacha.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, Bacha. Bacha was the player.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because she was celebrating very hard after the save.
She took her own goalkeeper out, bro. She
violently attacked as a thank you.
NFL quarterback, NFL tackle.
And so it felt like, oh, that was going to be it for Germany.
Yeah.
I think that penalty was kind of a foreshadowing of what we were going to see in penalties, because the game ended up going to penalties. And this was one of the worst ever like sets of penalties I think we've ever seen.
I was like, at one point, I was like, are they wearing blindfolds?
Well, no, and not bad out of the, like...
like, skill level was bad.
It was
just a lot of misses and saves.
I think it was bad in the sense that I think both teams were not confident, and you saw that with the soft penalties that they were taking. They were trying to guide the penalties in.
Two of them at least were passes, not even shots.
Yeah, and you could see the German players. You could see the training in the penalties. It was bang. They banged like three or four in the top right corner. Nobody
German
saving
trainers it. Like hit it as hard as you possibly can. They can't stop that, baby.
Right.
France was trying to pinpoint spots
exactly. So and there were a couple penalties that were just like, hey, dog, you're not believing in yourself right now. Like you can't come up here if you don't believe in yourself, right?
Yeah, man.
And these way too soft shots that the keepers were predicting too easily. And this is on both, for both countries. But at the end of the day, Ann-Katrin Berger, the Gotham FC goalkeeper, had one of the games of her career.
She had some wild moments in there, but she stood on her head for most of it.
Yes, and then the potential own goal, the center back, it might have been, I forgot who it was. I don't even know if it was the center back, not Knock or Cat. I don't remember which one of the defenders, but they are trying to clear the ball. The ball's too high, clears it backwards. It's going into the goal, and Ann-Katrin Berger, one of the most iconic, it is, you know, similar, you know, we were in Toronto for Stephen Fry's save against Jose Altidore.
I forget who against who, but Ramsdale, when he was on Arsenal, had that one save where they were like, oh, it's a highlight goalkeeper.
Yeah.
He's just doing, you didn't need to do all that. But literally, you're parallel to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You look like you're floating. You look like you're asleep on air in order to make that stop.
The photos of the save are incredible, because the leap that Berger takes is phenomenal. And she has to, you know, she's essentially walking forward and has to run back. Just an awesome moment. She crashed on the ground pretty hard. It looked like she might have hurt her shoulder. She had to stay on the ground for a little bit as well. But she had just one of the games of this tournament, especially after not really having a great group stage. She made a couple mistakes and just really turned things around. And it's starting to feel like Germany could go on and win this whole thing. And then
it's hard to suggest that they won't. If you're down a player and you're still pretty good for 80 minutes and you end up winning, I could see you having at least momentum.
It's going to be hard. Obviously, they play Spain next. But
let's talk about England, Sweden.
Dude,
this was another one that I was shocked even went to penalties.
Sure.
England, I think for most part, they're the name that I feel like a lot of pundits and whatnot have listed as their favorite.
Well, they were champions.
Yeah, champions. But this seems like the team. I'm not finding them putting it together for a full 90.
No. They
the first half of this game is ridiculous. And we have to talk about, you know, the abuse that's being.
Yeah, Jess Carter, obviously a Gotham FC defender. Gotham FC put out a statement. The Lionesses put out a statement.
She's removed herself from social media in light of all of the racial attacks.
Yeah, because
which is ridiculous. Do not do that.
Yeah.
If you listen to this podcast and you do that, immediately stop.
I mean, I'd be shocked if you did.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty
Unless
crazy.
Unless you hate listen, which I mean, that is also a thing.
We'll talk about that in a moment. She was being racially abused for the errors that she made in the game against Sweden. And, you know, credit to Sweden, because they took advantage of those mistakes. There were
who's watching women's soccer? That's also a racist. That just seems like such an odd pairing.
That is an interesting, you know, I mean, look.
I don't think those two circles, you know, overlap in the Venn diagram. I didn't think so.
My guess is.
Are you racist and not misogynist?
So,
you know what I mean?
This is my theory, is that like social media is also a bit of a wasteland, right? And we know that there's terrible people, but there's also terrible like discourse. That is not real people. Like, we know this for sure. There's no way.
Oh, it's all Russian bots.
It's all like Russian bots or whatever. And people that try to influence the culture in some way, even if it's negative. So it's like throw in a little bit of racism and they get them mad at each other.
Let's get this conversation going, you know?
So I think it's some of that. It's obviously not okay and it's difficult to ignore as well. So it shouldn't happen, but it's a difficult thing in trying to stop it from happening because I don't think it's real people.
That's kind of the main
thing.
The other argument too could also be that it's also people who are gambling on the game that don't normally watch it.
That's also a possibility. Yeah. Right. So,
this is your fault. You're not paying your rent this month.
There was a game at Audi Field. Did you see? It was Canada. I think it was Canada US. A Canadian player, I don't remember who, was like kind of chirping at someone in the crowd, another like two women. And the woman in the crowd was like, stop paying attention to me. You're losing. Go pay attention to the game. And some people were like, hey, you shouldn't be yelling at the players. And then some people were like, nah, bro, that's sports.
Good advice.
Like,
yeah. That's actually good advice.
Like, she didn't say anything crazy. Yeah. She was just being like, yo.
Hey, yo, get your head in the game,
she
bro.
I think she was mad because it was like a hard foul on like Rose Lavelle or something like that. So she was like, I'm defending my player. Like,
I'm doing my job. You do yours.
So there's a right way to do it. And obviously online racial abuse for any athlete is absurd.
It's ridiculous.
We don't need to say that. Yeah. I think everybody knows sort of where we stand.
I think you know the cool.
If we change somebody's mind, I'd be like, wow, I can't believe you live. I can't believe you're here.
Thank you for being toxic and open to new shows.
England gave up two early goals. And Jess Carter is involved in both of them. I mean, it's a poor mistakes. I mean, even the goalkeeper, Hampton had a little bit of what could have been a really bad, like howler.
She had a terrible touch, which caused one of them, but you could say maybe the pass that wasn't great from Jess Carter. It's whose fault is it? Maybe both of theirs in that situation.
Clearly, giving up a goal that early. It shocks your confidence, and England obviously have a lot. They're the previous winners. The pressure is on them. Mm-hmm. The comeback. And I think the big difference here when Chloe Kelly came into this game, it changed the whole dynamic.
There's
a
certain confidence she plays with, which is crazy. Speaking of, Lauren James is playing a completely different sport than everyone around her.
Lauren James, I mean, she's fantastic.
She's like bored of how good she is.
When she's not stepping on Nigerian players, she's just
those little things.
She's doing
if
great.
We can work on that part of your game. But there's one play where she turns the defender right on the first touch, nutmegs the next person, has the laziest run in like a positive way because it was fast enough. It was the perfect run, but it seemed like she was like,
she got the ball back.
But she was like, I got to cook another defender. Like, she's like, I do this all day. Like, she's over it, dude.
She got the ball back and she sent in a fantastic cross,
which just went wide.
Just went wide. Yeah, yeah. And again, so Hemp gets subbed off in the 78th minute. Chloe Kelly comes in and it's like, all right, I'm going to take over. She gets both assists, I believe, on the goals, if I'm not mistaken. She didn't get an assist because it bounced around. But she sent in the ball.
Yeah.
But Chloe Kelly in the first one sends in a fantastic ball to Lucy Bronze. The second one nutmegs the defender, sits her on the ground, mm-hmm. And then sends in the ball that Ajimang ends up scoring the goal. And then her penalty.
Yeah.
As well. It's just
she's an exceptional player. England is stacked.
But it's funny how her time at Man City, like she couldn't get any minutes. No one ever explained why she didn't get any minutes. She goes on loan to Arsenal, wins
Baller.
Champions League, right?
Baller, yeah.
So I don't know where the sort of disconnect is. And it may be something with Man City in general. Because you think about Rose Lavelle, her time there.
Couldn't really get on the pitch.
And it's like, it's goddamn Rose Lavelle. Why are you not seeing that we've all already seen?
That the World Cup has seen.
Exactly. I know she had some injuries and stuff like that. Sam Mewes was there as well. Mm-hmm. It didn't really pan out too well either. Maybe that could have also been injuries.
And it's funny too, because you could say like a lot of times Americans aren't like the techiest player. Rose Lavelle is.
Sure.
She belongs in a European game.
Can't comprehend what the issue is with Chloe Kelly because she's...
Well, as an Arsenal fan, thank you.
So, the penalties as well. England end up winning.
What a shame, by the way. The girl who missed for
Smilla Holmberg.
Holmberg, 18 years old.
Mm.
Oh, that's got to break your heart to be the one who misses at 18. But so she plays for Hammarby. Zlatan Ibrahimovic, part owner of Hammarby, sent her a message to try to, give her some confidence after that to try to put it in the right place. Because as soon as she misses, she puts her head in her hands. You got to feel terrible for a young lady like that. But what a wonderful game for England. And now, I mean, still, if you could give... They basically gifted the two goals to Sweden and still found a way to come back and win. That, to me...
Yeah.
That puts you in line to be, for me, you're my favorite. They,
England winning that game, I think, because I think they're on the better side of the bracket. They play Italy. Italy won against Norway, which was, I think, a big shock. It just shows there's a little bit of like being sort of impressed of like where the teams are, like year over year, year after year, World Cup after World Cup. And Italy has, you've seen the Women's League has way more investment,
right?
Where it almost feels like a little bit more excitement on the women's side than the men's side.
Of course, well, that's for the national team. This goes show if you invest and you care about it and you promote it forward, it will get better. And that's exactly what the women's team is doing.
Yeah, Cristiana Guidelli is scored the game winner against Norway late in the game, and she seems to be the biggest threat. But she's like that is really the main threat. So England. This has to be the opportunity. Like you can get to the final.
You can get to the final here
through Italy.
Germany's going to be playing Spain. Yeah. Spain being
an
absolute powerhouse. You know what I mean? I'm going to be impressed. After what Germany just did, being able to defensively hold back France, going up against the powerhouse of Spain, who's coming in with the most momentum? That I'm going to be impressed to watch this game.
Yeah. Spain are kind of, we all expect them to be here.
Yeah.
But Germany, if they could, I mean, they'll.
If you can do it against France, down a player, what can you do with your whole squad?
The red on their center back is not ideal, so she's going to be missing the game. But yeah, I mean, this game, this is their final. They have to treat it. They're probably good. I mean, Spain are absolutely no joke.
Do not pull anybody's hair.
But we didn't even talk. Did we even talk about that? No, I don't think we did. What a ridiculous red card.
Yeah,
I mean, there was part of it when you're watching it, kind of like in normal speed, you're like. She didn't pull that hard.
It seemed like she was trying to grab the kit in full speed. But when you watch it in slow-mo, you're like, oh, no, she grabbed
and pulled a little bit. And I love the, I forgot her name, but her response.
Hendrick.
Hendrick pulled her hair. But the girl that got her hair.
She turned around, she's like, what's up? Why you pull my hair, though?
It was one of those, like, you know you ain't going to be here very long. Like, why are you doing that?
You know you can't do that. There's cameras, bro.
We saw it when we went to were we at this game? Chelsea, Real Madrid? We weren't at the game, but they played each other, right? Who was it? That pulled Cucurella's hair. So one of the Real Madrid players and got sent off late in the game. And that one was a little bit more forced. And Cucurella was like running away or whatever. But you've seen
it
enough.
The NFL is like, it's part of the jersey, baby. Don't care.
Did they change the rule in the NFL or no? You can still pull the hair.
I don't know.
You might be able to. I think so. I don't think they changed it.
Tuck it in, bro.
What are you talking about?
In the NFL. Also, your hair.
All right. Let's wrap up there, everybody. The Euros, obviously, the semifinal, England, Italy, Germany, Spain, and those are happening July 22nd and 23rd. So we'll talk about those after they happen. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another episode of The Cooligans. We always appreciate it. Make sure you subscribe if you have not yet. Hit the like button on this video on YouTube. Hit the like button, even when there is no like button.
Yeah, right? Dude, find it.
find the like button.
Just write the word like in the comments.
Okay.
That counts.
Your girl says you don't know where the like button is.
Damn.
Okay, you don't want that to happen.
Look under the hood.
Tuck it in. All right. We'll be back on Thursday with a hot show.
Oh, baby.
Big time guest. I'm not even going to reveal it now.
No, we don't. No. Just, but you'll be excited.
You're gonna be quite excited. So make sure you tune in on Thursday. All right.
We're saying that in case it doesn't happen.
You know how it is. People are busy. Yeah. Shout out to Chatterley for sending me this. Sending both of us.
Sending both of us.
Yeah, we got the MLS All-Star game this week. Unfortunately, we're not going to be in Austin.
No.
We have a prior engagement, mm-hmm. but shout out to them for sending me the Liga MX jersey.
Yeah. I got the same one.
So we normally, you know, we showing Liga MX some love this time around. We don't obviously we watch a lot of MLS and we're rooting for the boys.
Yeah,
right. But the kid is dope. So shout out to Charlie for sending those. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you on Thursday. Have a good week. Peace, everybody.
Love you guys.